After watching thousands of videos of people dropping dead from most likely the effects of the vaccine, we can start to see a pattern emerging in a few of them. What's become known as Twitchers, or the fish out of water syndrome. In this video, we will explore a new theory as to what's going on and why this is happening. There are a number of common factors in the videos of people suddenly collapsing. The victim is inside a building, often a large structure like a railway station, which due to the roof spans will likely have a lot of metal in the construction. Or the victim is inside a vehicle which is made of metal. Or in a building which has a lot of heavy concrete structure, like a shopping center. The victim is using a mobile phone at the time of the collapse, or is in close proximity to people who are using phones. The victim is just fine 1 minute, with everything seemingly normal for them. Then, very suddenly, they become disoriented, collapsing and convulsing, usually with limbs shaking. And at the end they stretch out. So what on earth could be causing such a sudden and immediate death? And what is the link to cell phones? Dr. Buttar has talked about the vaccine containing what he calls some kind of payload.
What has been introduced within the vaccines as we know them, the COVID vaccines, regardless of the type, they have introduced into individuals through these vaccines and the subsequent boosters other components. I guess the right word would be, I had suspicions that they're introducing something into the vaccines that are designed to cause a detrimental effect at a time when they want the detrimental effect to take place, meaning that it's almost like a sleeper cell within your own body. It's there, you don't know it's there, there's no effect from it, but then it can be called upon or triggered. That this particular component within the vaccines, it's almost like a payload. So they call it a payload because it's not it wouldn't be like a normal onslaught, it would be like a massive onslaught. And so there's going to be a payload with some type of pathogen that will be activated by a sequence of 5G bursts, and these will be basically off of 16 to 18 gigahertz frequency, and it will be essentially three bursts that will be sequential and last a minute. And those will be designed, those bursts will actually create a signal that will release this payload that is within the hydrogel component of the vaccines.
And while Dr. Buttar has talked about the vaccine containing what he calls some kind of payload, Dr. Buttar refers to it as being viral, when it could in fact be a highly toxic venomous payload that would fit much closer to what we are actually seeing. In other words, a lethal set of toxins encapsulated by a nanoparticle delivery mechanism. But is there anything that's that lethal which can kill that quickly? Perhaps it's worth looking at nature to see if we can see a similar occurrence there.
ASF rat gang, get your ass down. Boom. She's in the hide too, by the way. I don't know if it's the man. Boom! Got him. Oh, shit! Come on, cuz! Stretch gang, bitch! Open your mouth, boy!
The snail is hidden under the sand. They have a siphon that sticks up. The siphon is kind of like a nose. It can smell if there's prey in the water. Then the proboscis comes out, and it's kind of like a tongue. And on the tip of the tongue is a harpoon, which is filled with venom. And then when they harpoon the prey with the venom, their venom has things in them that will shut down everything, basically, in the prey. Blood sugar, locomotion. The prey then instantly becomes paralyzed. Its mouth or rostrum opens really wide, and it will then engulf a fish or a worm completely whole.
Snails can mix together hundreds of different venom elements to pack a powerful punch.
It is strong enough to kill people. It's been described as a cocktail of chemical components, and it is very varied. The record is 800 different proteins molecules in that venom.
Researchers are mining this pharmaceutical vault, intrigued by how precisely the cone snail's venom can act on their prey's nervous system, disabling them in a seemingly endless combination of ways.
We can see that when these neurotoxins are injected straight into the prey, it can paralyze them almost immediately. Dr. Elizabeth Eads says the following.
It's now proof that the lipid nano, when it is exposed to a minimum of 18 megahertz of 5G radiation, swells and releases cytotoxins. A crate venom, a cobra venom, and all kinds of other cytotoxins can be released.
It could be that the toxins in the payload are combinations of ones that occur in nature, like crate and king cobra snake venom and cone snail venom, but synthesized in a laboratory. So where do the mobile phones come into this story, and why are metal buildings and vehicles significant? If Dr. Buter is correct, and the vaccine contains a set of toxins contained within a nanoparticle delivery system, then an unusually strong radio frequency from mobile phones could be accidentally bursting open the protection around the toxins and allowing them to be released direct into the bloodstream. Dense or metal-based building materials can reflect or absorb radio frequency signals, reducing the level of signal that reaches indoors. This creates coverage black spots, channel fading, and can cause transmissions to bounce off objects at an acute angle, creating signal reflections called multipath signals. This all makes it harder for the user's phone to connect to the nearest cell base station. At these times, the phone will increase its power manyfold in order to attempt to re-establish a connection. The system base station may also take advantage of what's called beamforming, which is a technique for directing signals to the mobile device, which needs it most. Beamforming is a technique where the antenna rays can steer and aim a beam directionally towards a phone. This uses some clever physics to concentrate the energy into a beam that gets pointed at the user. By grouping multiple antenna rays together, they can create a beam where all the waves from each antenna arrive at once. By shifting the phase of the antennas, essentially, the timing of the waves they're making, they can actually bend and direct this beam. Could it be that this radio frequency energy is sufficient in some instances to break open and release the lethal payload? But what else is in the vaccine, aside from some kind of biological material, which may be present in some of the vials? The vaccines contain metals that have been observed to self-assemble outside of the body, and, most disturbingly, metals that also assemble inside the body. Studies show that these metals are found in the blood of 94% of those who have received a COVID vaccine. Analysis of what at first appears to be blood clots from the deceased shows that these structures are in fact not blood clots at all. They are low in iron, while containing high levels of sodium, tin, and aluminum. If they were of human origin, they would have higher levels of iron and much lower levels of these other elements. And these mysterious conglomerates of metal make their final appearance in the deceased. All over the world, coroners are now finding that the arteries of the vaccinated have been clogged with mysterious growths, non-organic masses made up of conductive metals such as aluminum, sodium, and tin.
We're already seeing an increase in death, but that's not the real kill. This is just the technology being pretty problematic. There's the rush to technology, the rush that people are getting sick from it, they're dropping down dead, where this equipment is actually self-replicating and it's building the nanoparticulate antenna network.
Likely, they only tested the vaccine on sedentary monkeys instead of ones running around chasing a ball. This appears to have been their big mistake and is now causing them a huge problem, as the number of deaths, especially of sports people, keeps mounting up. Perhaps we just got lucky this time.
The COVID-19 vaccine is a nanometer material antenna. All right, these are graphite ferrous oxide. They're self-replicating, as you stated. They're basically small electronics. And what that allows me to do is actually understand a person's biometrics.
These three elements, sodium, tin, and aluminum, are all very good conductors of electricity. It's believed that this injected technology is growing bigger over time inside the recipient's body. That's not to say it's alive, but they are growing. Lots of things that aren't alive get bigger and grow over time. For example, hair and nails. They appear to be some kind of self-assembling structure called biostructures, which are harvesting certain electrically conductive elements out of the blood to build themselves. A quick search of the patents of Dr. Charles Lieber shows that this technology does in fact exist. But what are these biostructures intended to be used for? You may have seen something similar on shop tags, designed to prevent theft. It's a sticker with an electrically conductive circuit laid out in a certain pattern that is stuck onto shop items. The circuit has no battery, but when a pulse of radio frequency energy is directed at the tag, it will elicit a response, an organized reflection of the electromagnetic energy. This allows the item to be tracked and traced. Is that what's going on here? Are these self-assembly aerials there to facilitate tagging and tracking of individuals?
We need to understand what the interconnection is between the vaccines and the 5G network. So it's actually in that technical document. I knew of these developments. There was a DoD project to track wetware on the battlefield. So these are biological structures that are very, very difficult to see unless you have, you know, something you're carrying with you, or you've been injected with these nanometer materials, which allows me to light you up in a battle zone.
What would be the purpose of having a tracking device and a lethal payload built into the vaccine?
So far, globally, we are so far above the population and the consumption levels which can be supported by this planet that I know in one way or another it's going to come back down. So I don't hope to avoid that. I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way. Peaceful. Peace doesn't mean that everybody's happy, but it means that conflict isn't solved through violence, through force, but rather in other ways. And so that's what I hope for. So we're going to have a billion people. And we're now at 7, so we have to get back down. I hope that this can be slow, relatively slow, and that it can be done in a way which is relatively equal, so that people share the experience and you don't have a few rich, you know, trying to force everybody else to deal with it. So those are my hopes. I mean, these are pretty pessimistic hopes, you know.
If the payload inside any individual can be triggered using 5G, then it means they can kill anyone, when, and wherever they want. This process could even be automated and controlled by AI. This affords the perpetrators some advantages. Because normal bioweapons lack flexibility, their infectivity, biological timering, and death rate curve are all preset at the time of release and cannot be changed afterwards. If a bioweapon is too strong, it will kill too quickly and arouse a reaction. If it works too slowly, like in the case of HIV, then the kill rate will be less than the continuing population increase. However, with a triggerable payload, the die-off rate can be changed at will. This could even be managed by AI in a feedback loop. If the AI detects that there is too much civil unrest, by monitoring social media, it can drop the kill rate down. If things are quiet and the new normal levels are accepted by the populace, it can increase the rate again. Any level that would arouse a strong reaction from the population would lead to an immediate correction by the AI system. It also could be why these people are dying in places like the sea. The AI may be looking for victims for which there can be plausible deniability. Drowned while swimming, crashed the car while driving, died working, etc. The AI could also be selecting individuals for termination based on deep data. That could include people it considers to be of limited use in the future, whose jobs can be replaced by AI. Those who have a low social credit score, mixed with a few of those with an average score, so as not to rouse suspicions. It could include old age pensioners, part of an aging population, who may be considered no longer productive and a burden on society. And people with different occupations and located in different geographical locations, so there appears to be no connection between them. As we are now moving into the next stage of the operation, which the elite have had plenty of time to plan for, including planning for all eventualities. One way to safeguard themselves against any retribution is to have incorporated a ticking time bomb into the vaccines in the form of a pathological or chemical payload. They would have expected a much greater percentage of the population to have uptaken the vaccines than actually occurred, so would have planned accordingly. Thanks for watching, and if you like this video, please copy and share.